We begin the current daf Masech Tabav Basra, daf Kof Mem. We begin on the third line down for the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which we opened up this parak, the ninth parak of Masech Tabav Basra, parak Mishmeis, which the Mishnah opened up with the halacha that depending on how much money there is when the father passed away, what's going to be the division between the sons and the daughters. And that is, if there's Nechasim Merubim, if there's a lot of money, which the Gemara discusses exactly what is that criterion, then the sons inherit. And then the daughters get fed, because that's one of the conditions of the ksuba, that the daughters get fed up until a certain age. But if there's nechas mu'atim, but if there's not that much money, then the daughters get fed, and then the sons have to go ahead and collect them by the doorway, which Adman contests that, and he says, what, because I'm a male, I lose out? No, that we split it equally regarding the sustenance, the sons and the daughters. Now, on that, the Gemara says as follows. Pshita, it's obvious. If the time that the father passed away, they were merubin, there was a lot of money in the estate, which we explained that means to say that the sons inherit. They just have to feed the daughters then whatever they need for the time period up until they become older. But then later on, now, either that the price of food went up, or that something happened with the estate and they got diminished. Now, there isn't enough of money to support the sustenance of both the sons and the daughters up until the time of when the daughters become adults, which is the time that they have to be fed. So it says the Gemara, it's obvious that in that case, kvar zachu behen yarshin, that the inheritors, the sons, already merited in the assets at the time that the father passed away, which is that we already qualified at the time of the death, there was nechasim merubim, there was a lot of money. And therefore, the daughters take according to what was evaluated at the time that the father passed away, and the sons inherit their portion, which was defined at the time of the father's death. Now, whatever the estate went down in price now, let's say a few weeks later, that's going to be lacking both for the sons and the daughters, each one according to their thing. But it's not that the loss is going to be for the sons any more than the daughters. They already it was already divided. The sons already inherited. The daughters were, let's say, decided that you're going to get $1,000 for the amount of time you have till you become begaris. Now that there's less money in the estate, it's going to be divided amongst the two, which is according to their divisions what they had. However, the Gemara's question is the other way around. Let's say mu'atin. Let's say at the time of the father's death, there was very few assets, which we said in that case that what's divided is that the sons do not inherit it. Rather, it's decided how much money the daughters need up until they become adults, which is allocated to them right away. And then the sons, whatever's left over, they get, possibly. And if not, then they just have to go ahead knocking on doors. They don't inherit. But then, so that was at the time of the death. But then, b'nisrabu, then it increased. How so? Because the price of food went down. So now, based on the new prices of food, it's considered nechasim merubim. There's actually enough money for the daughters to get fed up until a certain time, and for the sons. And if we said in that case, the sons inherit, what would the halacha be in this case? Would we say that the gain would be for the sons, and that they take the excess of the estate, which is more than the amount of food that the daughters need up until they become older, or not? As the Gemara explains the question, do we say, Bishus Yershin Kaimi, meaning in the previous case, it was obvious that they already inherited at the time of the death. So although now it would diminish the estate, okay, so that's going to have to be shared by both parties. But in this case, the question is, do we say that in spite of the fact that the daughters were decided at the time of the death to get money and the sons are not inheriting, but Bishus Yershin Kaimi, it's still in the property of the inheritors up until they actually give the money to the daughters? And Hilkach Bishus Yershin Shabuach. Therefore, it was in the property of the inheritors that it increased in value, and therefore, now that it went up, it's going to be their gain. Aydilmor, maybe Saluki Misalki Yershin Hacho. Maybe that we say, no, they were removed from here. Since at the time of the death, which the Chacham were Misaka, when there's a very little amount of money that the daughters get fed, therefore, we said they do not inherit. If they do not inherit, they were automatically removed. And therefore, the gain does not go to the sons any more than it goes to the daughters. Or do we say that no, that it's theirs? They are the inheritors. They just have to give it to the daughters. And therefore, if it increased before they actually give it, even though it's after the time of the death, it's going to be their gain. Says the Gemara, Tashem, I'll come in here. We'll prove it because the Amr Reb Asi Amr Reb Yechon, he says, Yisaymin Shekadmu. Regarding orphans, that they went before the daughters went and took them to court, meaning in the case of when they want to collect their mezainis, which is from the Tanaik Suba, umachru b'nechasim mu'atim, so before the daughters got a chance to collect their sustenance, then the orphans, meaning the sons, went and sold even if it's a case of nechasim mu'atim, which we said by when there's very little money, really all of the money gets allocated to the daughters. And in spite of that, if the sons went and they sold it first, mashem machur machur, says Rabbi Yechanan, what they sold is sold. And the reason for this is because the halacha, as the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Gittin, we do not collect for the sustenance of the widow and of the daughters, which is the case we're describing, from the chasim shabbat and from assets which are already sold off to other people. Now, therefore, even the case of the chasim atim, which is really owed to them, but if the sons sell it off, it's sold. Now, as Rashbam says, for sure, if it was nechasim merubin, as the Gemara says himself to Ksubas, regarding brothers, that they were meshabed, that we do take out for the parnasa, although we don't take out for mezainis, obviously that we see from here is that if they sell, it's going to be a sale. And the reason for that is because although they really owe it to the daughters, it's still considered under their domain in regards to the ownership. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is answering, that if it was nechasim mu'atim, which is owed to the daughters, if it increases in value, they have those rights, and it's going to be nishtabeach, it's going to be increased the value for the sons. As we see that because if they sell it, it is a valid sale, so we don't consider them totally removed, and therefore, if they sell it, it's sold, and also the increase of the value goes to them. So there were both cases, when there's merubim and nismatu, or nismatu v'nisrabu, then the increase is going to go, it's still considered owned by the male sons. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Yasev Rav Yirmiyah Kameh D'Rebavo, but Kubayim, and they asked him the following four questions. First question, and the first three questions are related to what we're discussing, Amenasei Mahu Shetemayit B'Nechasam. What's the halacha regarding a widow diminishing the value of the estate at the time of the death? In other words, if someone passed away and he leaves over sons and daughters, and he also leaves over a widow. Now, the widow, as it says in the stipulation of the Ksuba, is that, as it says, Kol Yimei Megar Amulusach, all the days that you're a widow, you're going to be fed from my house. Now, he left over an estate that only has enough to feed the sons and the daughters up until the daughters become adults. So the question is, are we going to now say, since there's money that has to be given to the widow, that she diminishes and will now take it under the radar to make it into nechasim mu'atim, as the Gemara explains? Mi amrinu, do we say, ki even the isla mezaini memaita, since the widow has to be given sustenance, so we don't call it anymore nechasim merubin because it's not that much. It can't make it all the way till the girl becomes adult because there's another expense over here, feeding the widow. And therefore, since we have to separate from the estate the sustenance of the woman and the daughters until they become older, then they're the ones that get it. And the excess, like we say in the case of nechasim mu'atin, goes to the sons because essentially this is mu'atin now. After that, you're going to have to give whatever is given to the wife and to the daughters, whatever's left over, they get, and whatever is, if there's not enough, they have to knock on the doors. Or maybe says the Gemara, no, kiven de ilo mintzava. Since if this widow would get married, remarried to another man, less law, she would not get sustenance from this man who passed away from this estate. So hashtanami less law. So now also, we make it as if she doesn't have. In other words, it's not going to be considered diminishing the value of the estate because it's like she's not existent over here. And therefore, the halacha is going to be that we actually will give the daughters according to what they need sustenance until they become adults. And the rest, the sons do inherit as the halacha is by nechasim merubin. Now, what's the reason for that is? The reason is because we don't consider the widow what has to be given to her as if it's diminishing the value of the estate right now. And therefore, we consider it as nechasim merubin, which is the banim yirshuv, abanis yizayinu lo, that the sons inherit and the daughters get fed. And from the portion of the daughters, the widows are not going to be fed for them. Now, in actuality, the difference between if we can be considering the widow diminishing the value or not is, as the Rashbam's preferred explanation is when they're not considered memayit, so then as we said, it's considered nechasim merubin, and then even though it's going to be delayed, let's say that she's not marrying today or tomorrow yet, even though that's going to be diminishing the estate, so that's like nechasim merubin, and then it's v'nismatu. Then it's like the case that we said before, then it's diminishing it, which we said that kvar zacha ben yershin, the inheritors already inherited already, and therefore the three of them will get fed together, which the sons, the daughters, and the widow, as we said, that that's the difference between if it's Nechas Merubin, Nechas Mu'atan, Nechas Mu'atan, the sons are considered as if they're out of the picture. They just get whatever's left over and possibly get nothing, and they have to knock on the doors. Whereas, as we're describing, possibly it's going to be considered Nechas Merubin, because we don't consider her, because if she would get married, it's not a definite thing as the sons and the daughters have with their inheritance, and therefore, even if she's not going to get married, so it's going to be diminishing. So it's like Nechas Merubin Nismatu, where, yeah, that's going to, but the thing is, the son will be part of it because they really did inherit it. Kvar Zachar Ben Yerushin, they're all going to share it together. That's question number one. Says the Gemara, Im Tim Tzalayman, if you're going to say, Kivin de Ilaminsava Lesla, that, okay, since if this widow would get married, she wouldn't have Sashtanami Lesla. So therefore, now we also don't consider her as if she has a portion in it. We don't consider her a definite in this inheritance. She might get married right now, and therefore, it's not going to affect the estate. So therefore, we consider it as Nechas Merubin, and we don't consider her expenses as a diminishment of the estate. And again, even if she doesn't get married, it's like Merubin Menesmatu. But then the question is, Bas Ishtay, the daughter of his wife. In other words, if someone accepts responsibility when he gets married to a woman who already has a daughter from a previous marriage, that he's going to feed the daughter, besides that he's going to take care of his wife, but also his stepdaughter for 5 years, and then he passes away, which now that responsibilities are coming upon his inheritors to feed that daughter, that responsibility that the estate has to feed this girl, what's the halacha? Would that be considered diminishing the estate, making it into Nechas Mu'atan, which then, of course, the sons lose the right to inherit, or not? As Gemara explains, Mia Mina, do we say, Kibin Dechi Mintzava Nami Isla, since, unlike the previous case of the widow, even if this girl gets married, she still gets sustenance until that period of 5 years from the inheritors, because it's a responsibility and a liability with which their father took responsibility whether or not she gets married or not. So therefore, umamaita, therefore we would consider this a diminishment, a more definite thing, diminishing the value of the estate. And therefore then, this girl and the daughters would get fed, and the sons would not inherit, rather they would have to knock on the doors. Or maybe no, even this case. Kivin de ilumesa lesla, since if she would die, she would not get, it's not something that her inheritors would inherit. And therefore, it would not diminish it, and we would consider it Nechas Merubin at the time of the death, which, of course, if she wouldn't get married, it would be diminishing as it goes along, but that we already said, Kvar Zachar Yerushin, then the sons would have already been considered as inheritors, and then the daughters would get fed until they get older, and this daughter would get fed with them, but it would be the sons that would have had the inheritance. Continues, question number three. Vim Tim Tzlemen, if you're going to say, Kivin de Ilumesa Lesla, Volemimaita, regarding the previous case of Bas Ishtay, that no, since ultimately if she would die, it's not considered a definite thing because it's not something she has inheritance, her inheritors will not get it for her, and therefore it does not diminish the value of the estate, and it's considered Nechas Merubin. Question number three is, but Bal Chayiv, what's halacha with a creditor, Ma'ushi Ma'at Ben Nechas, what's halacha if the what's owed to the creditor at the time the father dies to diminish the value of the estate if the property only has enough, if it doesn't have enough, rather but for the amount that's owed to the debt, and to feed the daughters? What's the question? And do we say, even if the creditor dies, it's still owed to the creditor, meaning it goes to his inheritors, and therefore, it will diminish the value of the estate, and therefore the daughters will get fed, and the sons will have to go knocking on the doors. Or maybe that no, since ultimately he's lacking collection, it's something that's owed to him, but he doesn't have any rights in the actual properties of the person who passed away, therefore it will not diminish the value of the estate, and therefore the sons and daughters will get fed until the creditor collects, and when he collects, then if there's something left over, then the daughters get fed until they get older, but if not, they lose out, and therefore we do not consider it Nechas Mu'atan. Now, says the Gemara, these three questions that we said in the Imtim Tzolema, which we said that, okay, maybe the widow not, but maybe Bas Ishtay yes. And we said, even if Bas Ishtay not, but maybe the case of Balchayev would be considered being Mamayit. Now we go in the reverse, Le'idach Gisa, the other way around, which is starting off that, yeah, maybe this one yes, but maybe this one not, in the opposite, which is Balchayev, the first question that was asked was a creditor, Ma'ishe Ma'it Ben Achasim, what's Alocha, could he diminish the value of the estate, which seemingly he really has a very definite right in these things. The only thing he's missing is that his Gevain is actually collecting, but it's owed to him whether he dies or whatever it is. Then the question is, if you continue to Amud Beis, now even if you're going to say that by a creditor he does diminish the value of the estate, and it's considered a chasam mu'atin, because even if he dies, he's going to get it, but bas ishtay, what's halacha with the daughter of the wife, which she doesn't get if she dies? Ma'usha tamay ben chasam, what's halacha with what's owed to her also diminish the value of the estate? And the third one was, what's with a widow? Even if you can say by the Bas Ishta it does diminish, that's because even if she gets married, she gets it. But by a widow, if she gets married, even then she doesn't get it, would it even diminish the estate even in that case? Those are three questions. Question number four he had was a related question. Amnasa ubas. If someone dies and he leaves over a widow and a daughter, and there's only enough food to feed one of them. Now, both of them are claiming sustenance because they're both stipulations in the ksuba, in the dowry, which is that the daughter and the wife have to get fed. So, since they're both takanas derabanan, and that's where they're both getting their rights from, so the question is, ezem and kedemis, which one comes first, which one gets fed, and which one has to go ahead and fend for themselves? So, Amalei, so Revo answered to him, he says, zilo idna b'solam achar, go now, I heard your question, so come back tomorrow. Kiasa. When Yirmiyah came back tomorrow, Amalei Rebavo said to him, look, Pashad Mias Chada, one out of your four questions, the last one, the case of when there's a daughter and a widow, that question I can answer you. Because the Amr Baba, Amr Basi, says, Asu Amon Itzla Bas, the Chacham considered the widow in relation to the daughter, Kabas Itzla Achin, the way a daughter is by brothers, Benachas Mo'atim, when there's very little assets. Which is, as we said, halacha in the Mishnah. Ma'bas etzla achin, just like a daughter in regards to her brothers. The halacha is habas nizaynus va'achin yishalu ala psachim, when there's not enough to go around. Then we say the daughters get fed and the sons have to knock on doors. Af aman etzla bas, the same thing is regarding the widow, regarding to the daughters. Aman nizaynus va'bas tish ala psachim. It's the widow that gets fed and the daughters have to go ahead knocking on the doors. Just like we say that the daughters, it's not their type to go out knocking, sons more. The widow is more, is that, even more than that by the daughters, and therefore, in that case, the widow will get fed and the daughters will have to go knocking on the doors. Now, the Mishnah had said that Admin Oimer, he disagreed with the halacha of Nechas Mo'atim. Tanakama, the Chacham, said, when there's very little asset, the daughters get fed and the sons have to go knocking on doors. Admin Oimer, he said, B'shvil shani zachar hifsadati v'chulu, what, because I'm a male, I lose out? To the contrary, they both have to split it. You don't make the sons knock on doors more than the daughters. And that has to Gemara, my Kama, what was the logic that Admin was saying? Why was he making it sound like as if the fact that he's male, to the contrary, should give him an upper hand in being fed, as we find somewhere else, more than the female, that he's saying, what do you mean? Because I'm male, and to the contrary, because I'm male, I have more rights, so because I'm male, I'm going to lose out? What was he saying? What was he referring to? So I'm Abai, he says, Hachakama, what Adam was saying was as follows. B'shvil shani zacha, what do you mean? Because I'm male. V'ro ani lasik batar, and I'm fit to toil and tire, which therefore gives me more rights to get fed. Hefsadatis, I'm going to lose out? No, for sure, the male definitely does not have it worse than the female. Now, in that interpretation of Abai, Amalei Rava, Rava said to him, wait a second, El me'ata, but if that's the case, so regarding someone that has two sons, one of them that learns Taira, and the other one that does not toil in Taira, so what are you going to say, Abai? Man da asik b'Taira hu diyaris, the one who toils in Taira, he inherits the father, de lo asik b'Taira lo yaris, and the one who does not toil in Taira does not inherit his father? What? You think he's going to lose his rights to inheritance because he doesn't learn Taira? According to you, you're making it sound like the rights of the male is because he learns Taira, but that we don't find anywhere that a son that learns gets inheritance more than the son that doesn't. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, Hachakam, this is what Adam was saying. B'shvil shani zachawat, because I'm a male. V'ro'ani leirish b'nachasim merubin, and I'm fit to inherit when there's a large amount in the estate. Meaning, in that case, when there's a lot of money, when there's enough to be fed for both of them up until the time that the daughters get older, the son inherits everything, even if it's 100 money, even if it's $1 million. And the daughters don't get any of it, all they get is fed. So, if you see, I have a stronger hand in the inheritance, so if sadi bin chasim mo'atim, so I'm going to lose out when there's very little assets? How can you say that? You see that the male's part is stronger, and therefore, although there's little, and we need the daughters to get fed, but definitely it's not going to be worse than the female, and the sons, according to Amman, do not have to go knocking on the doors. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in this parak, again discussing the halachas of the title of this parak regarding Mishnah Meis when they passed away, regarding the laws of inheritance. So says the Mishnah, Niach banim ubanis v'tumtum. Someone passed away and he leaves over sons, daughters, and a tumtum. Now the root of the word tumtum comes from the word atum, which means clothes, which is not recognizable. It's covered over the genitalia, the defining characteristics. You can't tell if he's male or female. And it's doubtful if it's either one. Now, there's actually another opinion, as the Gemara brings, that it's actually a doubtful if it's a different creature. So therefore, as we're going to see, they reject him. They don't consider him not a male and not a female. So says the Mishnah as follows. Bizman shel nechasim merubim, and again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we said what the halacha is when there's nechasim merubim or nechasim mu'atim, when there's a lot in the estate, which we said, then the males inherit and the daughters get fed. So the males push him away to go get fed, eats lekevis by the females, and not to inherit like the males, because they tell him, look, bring a proof that you're a male, and then you'll inherit with us, rather go to the females. Now, however, actually there is an opinion in the Gemara that he doesn't even take like a female, because he's neither definitely a male or a female. This that the Mishnah is using the terminology of that the males push him away to the females, it's only because he wants to take like the males that he should have the upper hand. And they push him away and say, no, go to the females, even though when he's going to get to the females, they're going to push him away and say, no, prove that you're a female, and they push him away to the males. Continuing on the other case, Nechas Mu'atin, if there's a little amount in the estate, that then the females have the upper hand, as we said in the previous Mishnah, that the females get fed, and the sons have to go knocking on the doors. So then in that case, the females push them to the males, bring a proof that you're female, and until you do, you got to go knocking on doors with the males. Continuing the Mishnah related discussion. If someone says, and this is someone that's dividing up his estate as he's passing away, which is a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the one who dies, although he's just verbalizing, he doesn't do an actual kinyan, that is has to be fulfilled, or it could even be talking about a healthy person, but he's meriting these people through someone else who's meriting for them. Now, although actually Rav Huna says, as we'll quote in the Gemara, that if someone is mezaka to uber, he does not acquire, and this is the case, as we'll see in the Mishnah, where he's meriting for a fetus, the fetus cannot acquire, actually the Gemara asks on his halacha from our Mishnah and does not answer that question. But our Mishnah says as follows, if someone says, Im teilid ishti zachar, if my wife gives birth to a male, itel mana, I want to take 100 dinar. Meaning that if the baby ends up being a male when he's born. Now, it actually ends up happening that yolda zachar, she gives birth to a male, so itel mana. So then he takes 100 zuz, as his father said. If he says, Nekeva Messiahim, if it's a female, I want to take 200, which the Gemara is going to ask, what is that to say that a person prefers to have a daughter more than a son? By son, it gives the case of 100, and by daughter, it gives 200. So if Yalda Nekeva gives birth to a female, so Netel's Messiahim, so she takes 200. Let's say he says, Im Zachar Mana, if it's a male, he takes 100. Im Nekeva Messiahim, if it's a female, she takes 200. And the Yalda Zachar Nekeva, and it gives birth to a male or female. So Zachar Netel Mana, if it's a male, takes 100. And Nekeva Netel's Messiahim, if it's a female, takes 200. Now, actually, Rashbam brings it someone to explain that it's talking about that if the wife gives birth to both of them at the same time, meaning twins, male and female, then it's what the Mishnah is saying is that then the male takes 100 and the female takes 200, as the father had said, that if it's male 100, if it's female 200, says Rashbam, that's not correct. Because the father didn't say that if she gives birth to male and female, because he didn't entertain that she's going to give birth to twins. Rather, what he's saying is, if it's a male, it's 100. If it's a female, it's 200, which sounds like that no, either male without female or female without male. And since that's the case, so then the son and the daughter, if it's twins, as it's obvious from the Gemara says Rashbam, then actually they're not going to take anything if it's twins. As the Gemara says, because he didn't say Zachar Unekeva, male and female, because he didn't want twins, or that actually the birth of twins is not included in the words that he said, Im Zachar Im Nekeva, which sounds like that no, only if it's a male or if it's only a female. And actually what it's saying is, as Rashbam says, is that if someone says, if my wife gives birth to a male, so that fetus will take 100. If the wife gives birth to a female, then she'll take 200. And when it says in the Mishnah, B'yolda Zachar Unekeva, what it means to say is, a male or a female, like the father had said, if it's a male, it takes 100. If it's a female, it takes 200. So what's the chiddush in that? The chiddush is that, because had he not explained that, that, and rather he had said, like the ratio of the Mishnah had said, where he said either one or the other, when there was a fetus, said, oh, if it's a male, 100, or he had only said if it's a female, 200, and then the wife gave birth to one that he didn't say, then the fetus wouldn't take anything. But rather, now that he revealed his intention that on either one, if it's male, 100, and female, 200, then the halacha is going to be, whichever one is going to be give birth to, he had already mentioned, it's going to get that one. But it says Rashbam that if the wife gives birth to twins, then actually they're not going to take anything, as is obvious from the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, but yold the tumtum. But if let's say the wife gives birth to a tumtum, then ain't a nital. Then that fetus does not take anything because that fetus is considered its own distinct creature, and it's not considered, as the Gemara will explain, neither male or female. So although he said if it's male 100, if female 200, if it's a tumtum, doesn't get anything. Now, imama, if he says, but kol masha telid ish the yitl, whatever my wife will give birth to, should take, then hariz a yitl. Then the tumtum does take, because ultimately it is something that the wife had given birth to. Now, moreover, ve'im ein sham yerish elohu, if there is no inheritor besides that tumtum, then yerish a sakel, then the tumtum inherits everything. Because although, as we're saying in the Mishnah, he's considered a burial, like a not male or female, but rather its own interesting creature. However, that's only when there are sons or daughters, that then we said in the Mishnah that then the sons will push him to the daughters and the daughters will push him to the sons. But if there is no son or daughter, so then as Abai explains in the Gemara, because that's when he's considered a barrier, we say you can't be male or female. But if there is no other inheritor besides him, then it's not any worse than what the Gemara says elsewhere. Uven Einloy, as it said, we said in the Kof Tazvav Men Aleph, you have to check. Einloy, is there no son at all? Im Einloy Bas, is there no daughter at all? You check that this is on some level considered an element of a child, and then you'll give it to the tumtum. Or either way, says the Rashbam, it would still be included in what the pasuk says: Akar b'lav mimishpach tabiyorishay. So the closest relative inherits, although it's not a son or a daughter, it's a tumtum, but it's still closer than a brother or a father or whatever it is, and therefore the tumtum will inherit. Now, the Gemara asks, in way of explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, we said that if there's nechasim merubim, so then the males have the upper hand. So when the tumtum comes to say, hey, I'm a boy, so they say, hey, we don't know what you are, they daichem aysim and they push him to the daughters. Now, it sounds like that v'shakal kabas, but what, then he's going to take mezainis sustenance, not going to inherit like a son, but he'll take sustenance like a daughter? Because it says that you push him to the females, it sounds like, okay, then at least he'll take the lower hand, but he'll take sustenance like a daughter. But on that, as the Gemara Hagatani Seifa, but we learned at the end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that if someone says that if my wife's going to give birth to a male, gets 100. Female, 200. Said the Mishnah, Yolda Tumtum Ein Anoitel, if his wife gives birth to a Tumtum, then the fetus doesn't take, not like a son or like a daughter, because it's obvious that's considered its own distinct creature, because if it's at least, we're just not sure which one, but it's one of the two, so you would at least get the lower of the two. But it's obvious in the Mishnah that no, you're not a male or a female, and therefore you don't get like either one of them, so therefore the same thing should apply to inheritance. Why do we say that, okay, the males push them away to the females, but you're not only not a male, but you're not a female either? Why do you at least get the lower hand of the female, that the tumtum, which is that, again, when it's covered over and you don't see, you can't tell, does it have the male signs or the female signs, which the Gemara assumes from the Mishnah that it's considered Ber Bifnei Atzmai, why does the Tumtum get like fed like a female? So Abai actually answers, you're right. When it says in the Mishnah that the males push him to the females, is also but ve'einloi. He doesn't get sustenance with the females because they also push him to the males. It's just explaining because that was the upper hand that he wanted, so they say they push him away, but you're right, the females push him away too. That's one interpretation. Rav Amar, he says no. Like the words sound like from the Mishnah, that the males push him away to the females, and then he does get sustenance like the females. Because either way you look at it, we're just not sure. As he's explaining, not that it's a barrier, but that a tumtum is a doubtful. We don't know. It's covered over the genital area. We don't know, is he male or female? But either way, he should at least take like the least of the two of them, because he's not a barrier, says Rav. Now, although, as Rashbam explains, Rav would definitely agree in the next case of the Mishnah, when it's Nechasim Mu'atin, although he's saying when you say Deichanoisa, he gets, but when it's little assets, and then it says that the females push him to the males, there obviously means that they push him to the males and he doesn't get anything, because even the males don't get anything. They have to go knocking on doors. But then Rava addresses, so if that's the case, that it's Yeshlois, then we had the question, the Masefa, then the Seifa, which you had asked a question that said, it's obvious from the Mishnah that we don't consider a doubtful Zachar in the Keva. And therefore, okay, although you can't get like the higher level of the males when there's Nechasim Reuben, rather the lower one like the females, but the Seifa of the Mishnah sounds like, no, that you're not like a male or a female. And that says, Rabbi, that's not a difficult because Asur and the Reb Shimon Gamliel. That's going like a different opinion, like that of Reb Shimon Gamliel. The time like we learned in our Braisa, which Rashbam says a Mishnah Masechtas Temura in Parakeets and Marimin, which the Mishnah there is discussing regarding someone wants to be crafty regarding avoiding the firstborn animal of an animal that he has from becoming a Bechair, which the first animal that comes out of the uterus of the animal has certain sanctity has to be given to the Kohen. He wants to get out of it from it having to give it to the Kohen, because in the way he loses that money. So when the animal is pregnant, he says whatever, he doesn't know if it's male or female, whatever is in the womb of this animal, if it's a male, he wants it to be an oila, because that he gains, because he really has to bring a carbon oila anyway, so he designates it as an oila beforehand. If it's a female, want to be shlom, where then he gets to eat all that meat and he gets it all himself. If it's twins, two males, he says one of them should be brought as an oila, and the other one will be sold for the obligation of someone as an oila, where then the money is chulin. Or if both of them are females, so one of them should be sacrificed to the shlam, and the second one then is sold for the obligations of a shlam, and then the money is chulin. But then, as Agamar quotes, says the Mishnah, Yolda tumtum adragin is, if let's say the animal that comes out is neither male or female, it's tumtum, which is that it's covered over, can't tell if it's male or female, or androgynous, which is actually has both signs of male and female. Pshimim Lilaim, he says, Ein kedusha chalalein, the sanctity does not take effect on that animal. And the reason is because the animal that's a tumtum androgynous is a creature of its own right. It's neither male or female. And therefore, neither does the sanctity of the shlamim or the ayla take effect on the animal when he had designated when it was in the uterus of the mother. And neither does it have the sanctity of the firstborn when it comes out of the womb, because you cannot call it hazach or taktish, because it's not a male, and neither is it a female. So therefore, says Rava, our Mishnah also that says that if a woman ends up giving birth to a tumtum, that then the fetus, the tumtum, doesn't take neither like a male or a female. That's going like Reb Shimon Gamliel, who considers it as a beria, as its own creature. But the Tanakama, the first halacha that made it sound like the Deichanoisa, they push him from the male and he does take sustenance like a female, are like the Chacham who disagree and say it's not its own creature, rather, those who disagree with Shimon Gamliel, and they hold that it's either a male or a female, we just don't know, but he takes like the lesser of the two. It's not that he doesn't get anything. Now, not the Gemara says Mesa, but the Gemara asks on Abaye's interpretation from the following Braisa, talking about regarding some of the passes away, and he leaves over an estate, and says the Braisa, Tumtum, if there's a Tumtum, he's Yerush Keben, he inherits like a son, and when he's in Kabas, and he gets fed like a daughter, as the Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, Bishlim el Rava, we can understand and interpret this Braisa like Rava, who he doesn't say the Tumtum is a berry, it's its own creature. Rather, it's a doubt. We don't know, is it a boy or a girl? So therefore, you could explain the price as follows. Yairish Kaban, when does the Tumtum inherit like the son? That's been the Chasim Mu'atin. That's when there's a little amount in the estate. So then he inherits like a son, meaning like one of the sons, that he doesn't take anything. Because since we're in doubt regarding the Tumtum, he's not better than the sons who they have to go knocking on the doors because the females push this Tumtum to the males and therefore doesn't get anything because they tell him, look, bring a proof that you're a female and then you take like us until you could. You're like a male who you don't get anything. When it's said that he gets fed like a daughter, that's when there's a large amount in the estate. So then it's like Rava that we said, either way you look at it. The males push him to the females, but at least he'll get sustenance like the females, like Rava had said, because either one or the other, he's either a boy or a girl. So you can't give him the larger one of the males, but then he gets fed like a daughter. So we can understand and interpret the Braisa like Rava. However, as we continue on top of Kof Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph, El Abaye, but according to Abaye that said, that actually interpretation of our Mishnah, that he said that everyone agrees that the tumtum is a berry b'fnei atzmoi, and therefore, actually, when they say doichen oisei from zecharim to nekevis, the females also push him away to the males, and he doesn't take anything, not with the sons or the daughters. So my niece in kibbutz, how can we interpret those words of the Braisa that says that the tumtum gets fed like the daughter? He never gets fed like the daughter, because he's neither one. So how do we understand it according to Abaye? So on that answer, the Gemara, wait a second. Ula taimech, and according to your reasoning that you're asking on Abaye's interpretation, L'Rava, according to Rava, my Yerush Keben, what does the Reish of the Braisa mean when it says, oh, that when there's an Chasim Mu'atim, then he inherits like the son? What does that mean? He inherits like the son. It means elaro leirish ve'enlo. It means that he would be fit to inherit, but he doesn't get anything. That's how you have to explain it, as we said, because that's the case of nochas moat, in which the sons are shayla al pesachim. So although he's saying that he inherits like the son, he's not really inheriting. It's that he would inherit according to Rava, because that's the lower one, but he doesn't get anything. So says the Gemara, so hachanam, say also according to Abai, you could explain the seifa of the Brisa the same thing, that it's the same thing, that ro lizen. When it says that he gets fed like the daughter, it doesn't mean that he gets fed like the daughter. It means it would be fit for him to get fed like the daughter, but also the ainloi. But he doesn't get. And the reason why he doesn't get is because according to Abaya, he's neither male or female. He's a berib of neatzmoi. And therefore you could explain the brisa like Abaya too. And it's not difficult. Abaya's interpretation, which again is their machlokes regarding how do you understand the resha of the Mishnah when it says that when there's nechasim merubin, that then the males push him to the females. Is it like Abaya said that, yeah, he pushed him to the females, but then the females push him to the males, he doesn't get anything because everyone agrees he's berib of neatzmoi? Which is, as we find in the Sefer of the Mishnah, or it's like Rav says that no, it's on the Kavis, and he guessed because the Tanakhama holds that, you know, either he's male or female, but whereas the Sefer of the Mishnah made it sound like he doesn't get like either one, when he says that my child's going to be either a male, he gets 100, female, he gets 200, he doesn't get anything, is because that's like a B'Shem Gamliel who holds that barrier Bifnei Atzmeh.